Ephesians 6, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As we continue to study the whole armor of God, we continually need to be reminded why this is such an important topic. Let's familiarize ourselves once again with verses 10 through 13 of this Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This section of Scripture introduces the subject of spiritual warfare. We're told that the saints of God are engaged in a great cosmic battle against a powerful, relentless enemy. Our enemy is called the devil. Our enemy is said to employ wiles. This word refers to tricks or schemes or methods. The devil uses certain methods and schemes and tricks to undermine the faith of the saints and to attack the glory of God. And we, as the saints of God, need to be aware of his tricks and his schemes. God's command to his people in this text is to stand against the attacks of the enemy. We see the word stand in verses 11, 13, and 14. Very important that we would stand, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. That word stand is a military term. It means to hold a critical position during a time of enemy attack. It is the image of a soldier refusing to yield even one inch of ground to an attacking enemy. It's not the image of someone on the offensive, but rather it is the picture of a soldier on the defensive, protecting the ground that has already been won. Stand, therefore. God has given his people some very precious possessions. He's given us the truth. He's given us the church. He's given us his word, his grace, his salvation, his blessing. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And the devil wants all of it. He will not stop at anything. He will not stop. He wants to take away everything that the Lord has given his people. If we are to keep what we have received from the Lord, we must stand. Stand firm, brothers and sisters. We're to hold on to the critical ground that we've received from the Lord. And to do that, God says we must put on. It's not let go and let God. It's to put on the whole armor of God. The passage tells us about the pieces which constitute this armor. As it says in Rome, the armor of light. This armor we have to put on. We've already in our studies looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth refers to a life of total commitment to the Lord. It refers to a life that is built upon faithfulness to the word of God and to the God of that word. It speaks of truth and testimony and truth and living. This belt of truth will provide the Christian soldier stability. And it also provides a place for the other pieces of the armor to rest. Without the belt of truth, the soldier of God will find the other pieces of the armor absolutely useless. You must have the belt of truth on. Faithfulness to the word of God. The belt of truth. Also, we studied the breastplate of righteousness, which I brought out. It refers to the power of a holy life. A holy life, that is, a life that is lived according to the teachings of God and His Word. For that is a powerful defense against the attacks of the enemy. When we allow sin to dwell in our lives, we give Satan a foothold from which he can attack us and exploit us, as we see in Ephesians 4, verse 27. It tells us, nor give place to the devil or an opportunity to the devil. Therefore, putting away lying, and we're to speak the truth to one another. We're to be angry and not sin, not to let the sun go down on our anger, but not to give place to the devil. Give opportunity to the devil. When we put on that breastplate of righteousness, living holy lives, we can stand. Holiness closes the door to the devil, and it protects us from his attacks. Today we're going to begin to look at the boot of peace. The boots of peace. Let's look at what Paul means when he says that we're to stand with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can take shoes for granted, but they're a very important part of our apparel. We have different shoes for nearly every kind of activity. We have dress shoes, casual shoes, work shoes, shoes for walking, all kinds of shoes. We have shoes for every occasion. And what you plan to do on a given day determines the type of shoes that you put on. If you're going to go play tennis, you put on sneakers. If you're going to the beach, you put on flip-flops. If you're going on a construction site, you put work boots on. Your boot, your shoe, is determined by what you're going to do that day. And very often, we don't think about our shoes. We're grateful for them, but we really don't think about them. They protect our feet from the dangers of walking around barefooted. They can keep your feet warm, dry, safe. Your shoes are an important part of your wardrobe. Think about how important shoes are to certain professions. I mentioned about construction workers. You'd be crazy to go on a job without proper footwear. You wouldn't wear sandals on a construction site. Could you imagine a football player walking onto the field without his cleats on? Once again, could you imagine them wearing flip-flops? Or, for that matter, could you imagine them watching steel-toed boots trying to run down a field? Maybe a baseball player doing the same thing. Or, as I mentioned, a tennis player. It doesn't happen because the athletes understand just how important it is to have the right shoes on for what they do. Shoes are important to an athlete, to a construction worker, to the businessman. You're to have dress shoes on. You're not going, once again, I mentioned flip-flops. Flip-flops are good for the beach. They're not good to walk in an office for a meeting. The housewife has to wear certain shoes to work around the house all day. Even the baby has to have certain shoes on. You're not putting construction boots on a toddler. How much more important for a soldier? A soldier, once again, a soldier is used by Paul because we, brothers and sisters, are in a battle. And we must have on the right wardrobe. We must have the right shoes on. A soldier's life depended on his shoes. Soldiers are required to march for long distances, fight battles in all types of environments, walk through jungles, over rocks, cross streams that are filled with sharp, jagged rocks, trudge through the snow, cross burning deserts. If the soldier's feet become swollen, tender, cut, or blistered, that soldier would be greatly hindered in the day of battle. Did you ever notice you buy let me use the example of construction boots, work boots. You buy them, and the first couple of days, they're hurting your feet. They're blistering up your feet. But then afterwards, if you got steel-tipped toes on, work boots, that at first they annoyed you. They gave you blisters and stuff. But later on, you got steel-tipped shoes on, boots on, and you drop a piece of plywood on your toe, and you're not going to feel it because you got a steel-tipped show on. But if you had a pair of flip-flops on, you'd be in the hospital. Very important what you wear. Soldier's feet becoming swollen. Soldier won't be able to stand and fight. He might not even be able to march. He might not be able to properly handle his weapons. And he certainly could not advance on the enemy. Sore feet would undermine the soldier's ability to stand firm. The Roman soldiers, the image that Paul is using to illustrate the whole armor of God, they wore leather boots that protected the feet and the ankles. These boots were a half boot that allowed the soldier to advance towards the enemy, undistracted about what they might step on. This piece of the armor was essential, brothers and sisters, essential to the Roman soldier's preparation for battle. These boots usually had its hobnailed soles, which means they had bits of metal or nails driven through them. And these hobnailed soles gave the Roman soldier great traction as he climbed hills and fought on uneven terrain. The boots worn by the Roman soldier gave him great stability as he engaged the enemy. If we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, We must have on the proper spiritual footwear. You can be girded about with the truth, and you can have on the breastplate of righteousness. But if you neglect to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you are destined to stumble and to fall. That word, preparation. Preparation. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word preparation refers to being ready. Being ready, as I mentioned, the construction boots earlier. You must break them in. You got to wear them a few days beforehand. You don't just go on the job after slipping them on for the first time. You must be prepared, being ready. That same word is used in Titus 3:1. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work. To be ready. You must, brothers and sisters, be prepared beforehand. A soldier's boots allows him or her to be ready for whatever they face. A good pair of boots makes them ready to march, to stand, to climb, to fight, or whatever else they may be called on to do. That same readiness should mark the people of God, should it not? To what does this kind of readiness refer to? I mentioned preparation, being ready. What does this readiness refer to? In one sense, it means that the child of God must always be ready to be about the business of sharing the gospel with a lost world. We are to move at the Lord's command, going from place to place, preaching the gospel to the lost and telling them about Jesus Christ. What do you think I'm doing in this message right now? I'm shy, my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm bringing forth the gospel, each and every one of us. We're all part of the royal priesthood, brothers and sisters. Some of us just have larger audiences than others. The size of the audience doesn't matter. Mom, if you're at home, you're the witness to those around you, to your neighbors, to those in the marketplace, to your children, to your relatives. Dad, if you're outside, about, that is where you are to be. About the master's business. It'll be ready. Your feet shod. With the gospel of peace. But to be ready, brothers and sisters. With the gospel, bringing the gospel to a lost and a dying world. We ought to be about the business of sharing the gospel, moving at the Lord's command from place to place, preaching the gospel to the lost. And there is a sense in which all believers, like I said, we ought to be actively engaged in the business of evangelism. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you." Excuse me. "With meekness and fear." That's 1 Peter 3:15. When God saved us, he commanded us to tell others what he has done for us. We read in Mark 16:15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the marching orders we have, brothers and sisters. He's given us his spirit, and he's equipped us for the work of evangelism. He tells us in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Brothers and sisters, the King has ordered us. The King has commanded us. We are to follow the dictates of our King. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's equipped us for the work of evangelism. And the very heart of our duty to the lost is that we go and tell. That is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. This, you must remember, the King is issuing an order to his soldiers. This ain't fun time, party time, vacation time. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has issued a command to the people of God, to the army of God. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Brothers and sisters, you're in the army now. You're in the army of the Lord, and anybody that's been in the military, you don't debate with your superior officers. You don't say, "Well, you know, I think." You say, "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am," and you follow orders. So I would ask you the question, are you following the orders of the King, or are you your own soldier? Do you got flip-flops on and you're at the beach chilling out? Or are you a soldier for the Lord? Are you a soldier for the Lord? Because we're all soldiers. The question is, are you standing? Are you doing what the master said? Are you fulfilling the commands that he's told you? To stand, therefore, girding your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you taking up the whole armor of God? Or are you on, as they used to say, R&R, rest and recuperation? R&R, you're resting. You're just taking it easy, as opposed to, brothers and sisters, we are in a battle for our lives. We're in a battle for our lives. And if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you will be defeated. You will absolutely be defeated. There's only one way to fight the battle, and our King has told us how to fight that battle and the armor that we're to have on. If you've been playing around with the Lord, repent of your sin, put your armor on, and get in the battle. If you're in the battle, keep on, brother. Keep on, sister. The battle will continue to the day we die, to the day we go home to glory. There's no retirement from this army. There's no 20 years and I'm out. The battle continues. It rages on. The battle's going on all around you. Going on all around you. May you be found about the King of Kings business. May we walk according to the commands of Christ. And you, if you're listening today, my friend, and you've never come to Christ for salvation, I would plead with you today to heed the warning of the scripture that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Don't perish in your sins. Do not go off to hell because of your sins. Go to heaven because of Christ paying for those sins. Come to Christ today for forgiveness of your sins. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved.